Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Koinonia Church Message Library. Our hope is that today's message encourages you, challenges you, and brings you closer to Jesus. We are confident that God's Word is living and active and is relevant for us today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, Koinonia. Looking forward to sharing the Word with you this morning. We are in the middle of our study in the book of Ephesians, which we've titled Reshaped. Because in the first three chapters of this amazing book, the Apostle Paul unpacks the gospel. He unpacks what God has accomplished for us in Christ. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he unpacks the difference that that should make in our lives. And last week, Pastor Brian focused in on verses 3 through 14 of chapter 1, and it is so packed with amazing truth that we're going to jump back into that passage again, and we're going to unpack some more. So that's what we're going to pursue this morning. And this passage is actually an expression of worship. The Apostle Paul is coming unglued, and he is just pouring out his heart in praise and thanks and worship to God for all that God has done in and through Christ. And I trust as we get into this passage again this morning that you are going to be filled with worship and praise and awe at what God has done for you as well. One of the interesting things about this passage that is going to shape how we look at it this morning is that it talks about the role of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they worked together to accomplish God's purpose and plan of salvation. So the first role belongs to the Father, God the Father. And he, in his role, he purposed our salvation. He planned our salvation. Let's look at verse 3 together. This is how the Apostle Paul begins. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You see, the Father purposed, he planned, he desired, he initiated blessing for you and for I. For the whole of creation, his heart is to bless us. That's a very different picture to sometimes how we have imagined God, how we have painted God. Sometimes we have seen God as tight-fisted, as reluctant. You know, he withholds blessing until we've impressed him or done enough to earn his blessing. But that is not how God is. That is not the heart of God. The Apostle Paul wants us to see that God is the one, the Father is the one who has initiated the idea of blessing each one of us. It's God's idea from beginning to end. It comes out of who he is because God is good. We're going to focus in on three ways that the Father has purposed to bless us. The first one we see in verse 4 says, for God the Father, he chose us in him, that's in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So the first thing that God the Father wants to bless us with or that he purposed to do is to choose us. Isn't that an amazing thought? That the God of the entire universe purposed to choose us, to choose you. In other words, we are of great value to God. Let that sink in for a moment. God purposed to choose you because God values you. And notice when God purposed to choose you, before the foundation of the world. Isn't that an amazing thought? Before there was ever a world for you to live on, for us to exist within, he chose us before the foundation of the world. And the thing that this points out to us is that God's choosing of us has nothing to do with anything we would do. It's not because we deserve his choosing. It's not a matter of what we have done or who we are. It is a matter of who God is and who he is and what he desires to do. God doesn't demand that we earn blessings from him. He blesses us by choosing us because of who he is. And then the next thing that we see is that the Father purposed to make us holy and blameless in his sight. That's what he chose us to become, holy and blameless in his sight. Now, you may not feel holy and blameless, but let me tell you this morning. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, in God's sight, you are holy and you are blameless. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. It doesn't matter what your emotions tell you about who you are. In God's sight, you and I, if our faith is in Christ, have become holy and blameless in his sight. And he calls us now to live out who we are, that identity that he has given to us. Wow. Verse 5, in love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. The third thing that God the Father purposed to do for us is to adopt us. Pastor Brian talked about this last week. This talks and speaks to the relational component of who God is. See, adoption is about bringing us into relationship with him. And God has purposed to do that for us. He wasn't just content to rescue us from our sin. God didn't just want to rescue you from your sin, to forgive you, though that is amazing. But he wanted to take it a step further, and he wanted to adopt you and I into his family. He determined to place us within his family because God choosing us, choosing you, is motivated by a desire for relationship with us. What an amazing thought. And why did God do this? In verse 5, this is in the New Living Translation, says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Why? Because this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Did you know that adopting you into his family gives God great pleasure? Wow. It brought God great pleasure to choose us, to make us holy, and to adopt us. Why? Because he loves us. It's because of who he is. It's because God loves you. He loves me. He loves the world. And that is why he has purposed to do these things. So God the Father, he purposed or he planned our salvation, but how would he accomplish it? Well, God's purpose of salvation is accomplished through the Son. The Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished our salvation. If you read through carefully through verses 3-7, you'll find out that the Father blessed us in Christ. He chose us in Christ. He adopted us through Jesus Christ. He freely gave us his grace in Christ, and he redeemed and forgave our sins in Christ and through the blood of Christ. Jesus made the Father's will and purpose possible. Jesus said throughout his ministry that he came to do the Father's will and accomplish his work, and that is exactly what he was doing when he came. When we believe in all that Jesus has accomplished on the cross, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, we are placed in him. We are united with him. It's like Jesus Christ is a repository, a vat full, a well full of all of the blessing that God intends to give us. And when we put our faith in him, we are placed within that well of salvation. We are given access to that well of salvation. We are united with Christ, and everything that God has done in and through Jesus becomes available to us because Jesus is the source of every blessing that God the Father intends to bless us with. Now, the Father's plan and his will includes your personal salvation. Salvation for all who will believe. But it's much bigger than that. It's not just about you. Sometimes we like to place ourselves at the center of salvation. But we are not at the center of salvation. God is at the center of the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ is, and we are included in that because of his great love. Listen to Ephesians 1, 9 through 11 in the New Living Translation. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And listen to this. This is the plan. This is the plan. At the right time, God the Father will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. See, the Apostle Paul in this passage, he wants us to see God's sovereign wisdom, understanding, and power on display. And God has sovereignly been working throughout human history to accomplish this purpose and this plan. And at just the right time, he sent Jesus into the world to lay his life down on a cross to accomplish our salvation. And at just the right time, Jesus will return, and everything that God intends will be fulfilled. See, through Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, he has become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God's purpose, his ultimate purpose, is that he would take everything and place it under the authority of Jesus Christ and his gracious and loving rule. That's what all of human history is headed towards. God is restoring the universe and all of creation in and through his Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's rescuing all of creation from the chaos of rebellion and sin. And he's doing it through his Son. And the day is coming when all of that will be completed in and through Jesus Christ. What an amazing day that will be. So the Father purposed our salvation. Jesus, the Son, accomplished it. But how is it applied to our lives? We've got to look at verses 13 and 14 to find out. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed," listen to what happens when you and I believe this message, "you were marked in him, in Christ, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." See, the Holy Spirit applies the salvation that the Father planned and that Jesus the Son accomplished. He applies it to us. And he does it in two ways. You'll see this in verses 13 and 14. The first is that the Holy Spirit is a seal that marks us and a deposit that is given to us. Let's focus in on the first one. The Holy Spirit is a seal that marks us. Back in Paul's time, they would mark shipping or letters that would be sent to somebody to guarantee the validity of the contents. And a seal conveyed authenticity and ownership. And in this case, the Holy Spirit is the seal given to us as those who have believed in Jesus to verify that we are in him and that we belong to God. When we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit marks us with his seal to verify that we belong to God, to verify and authenticate who we are as citizens of heaven, as sons and daughters of God. 2 Corinthians 1 talks about this too in verse 21 and 22. The Apostle Paul talks about God anointing us and setting his seal of ownership on us. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit validates who we are. He's the evidence that we are in Christ and belong to Christ. Romans 8, verse 9 says this too. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if you do, if you and I have the Spirit of Christ, we are marked, we are sealed as belonging to Christ. See, the moment that you and I hear the gospel, the good news of our salvation, and place our faith in Jesus, who he is, what he's accomplished for us, the Holy Spirit applies that work of salvation to us. Titus 4 talks about this in verse 5 and 6. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, the Holy Spirit applies salvation to us by washing us from our sin and giving us new birth in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And how? By the Spirit of our God. It's the Holy Spirit that takes all of these truths and applies them to you and I the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He makes us his home. We become, the Bible says, the temple, the dwelling place, the home of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives and his work in our lives that verifies, that demonstrates, that confirms and authenticates that we are followers of Jesus and that we belong to him. But the Holy Spirit isn't only a seal that marks us as belonging to God. Verse 14 tells us that the Holy Spirit is a deposit that guarantees our full inheritance. This is amazing. Pay attention to this. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee. He is a foretaste. He is a down payment of what is to come. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 say this, "Praise be to God." See, the Apostle Paul is praising God because he has a revelation of everything that God has done in Christ. And the Apostle Peter is the exact same. He just cannot contain himself. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." If you and I, if we have placed our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit, a down payment, a foretaste of a much greater inheritance that is prepared and is reserved in heaven for us. I don't know what kind of family you come from. Maybe you come from a wealthy family, and maybe you've already received an earthly inheritance, or maybe you will do someday, or maybe you come from a family that doesn't have great wealth, and there's no great earthly inheritance waiting for you at some point in the future. But let me assure you of this. You, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, have an eternal inheritance reserved in heaven for you because your faith is in Jesus Christ. And nothing is going to spoil it. Nothing is going to take it away. No moth, no rust will corrode or corrupt or destroy it. It is reserved for you in heaven. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is evidence and a guarantee that it will be yours one day. What an amazing thought. Why is all of this true? It is because God is good and God loves you And he has prepared all of this for us. The Holy Spirit's presence in our life is a deposit or a down payment that guarantees we will one day experience the fullness of everything that God has prepared for us. And the greatest part of our inheritance is that one day we will receive a resurrected body and we will stand in the very presence of God, in the presence of our Lord and Savior, in the presence of the Father who planned our salvation, in the presence of the Son who accomplished it. And the Holy Spirit will be there with us as we stand before God, as we stand before our Lord and Savior. Now, we are marked by the Holy Spirit and given this deposit of the Holy Spirit, it says, until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Now, this is interesting because the Apostle Paul has already talked about how we have been redeemed in verse 7. But then now in verse 14, he's talking about a future redemption. So which is it? Have we been redeemed or will we be redeemed? It's actually both. It's both. Both are true. There's an already and a not yet component to our redemption. As soon as we put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are redeemed. We have been redeemed. In other words, we have been released from the power and penalty of sin. We have been set free from the tyrannical rule and dominion of Satan. He no longer has control or say in our lives. We have been redeemed. And Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross, the Bible tells us, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, tell us that it's through that blood that we have been ransomed. It's through the blood of Jesus, his life given for us, that God's judgment against our rebellion and sin has been removed and canceled, and we have become God's possession. We have been redeemed. But this is just the beginning, because the day is coming, as I've already pointed to, that our physical bodies will be transformed to become like Jesus' resurrected body. Philippians talks about this in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Romans 8 talks about this in 22 through 25. And we will be in the presence of God, living in a new heaven and a new earth, prepared by God for us, under the kingship, lordship of Jesus. Let's read Romans 8 because it's so good. Let's look at these verses in 22 through 25. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time when the Apostle Paul is writing. Not only so, but we ourselves who have already got the first fruits of the Spirit. That's what Ephesians 1 is talking about. We've already received the deposit, the down payment of the Spirit. But still, we groan inwardly as we await eagerly for our adoption as son to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. This is what we have to look forward to. The Father purposed and planned our salvation. Jesus, the Son, accomplished it. And the Holy Spirit has applied it to all those who have received Jesus. I want you to notice, as we apply this message to our lives right now, that God doesn't want us just to hear about this message. He wants us to respond to it. And if you haven't done that yet, I want you to understand that even though the Father purposed your salvation, your redemption, even though Jesus the Son accomplished it, it doesn't automatically become yours. You and I have to believe it. We have to receive it. And the moment we do, it takes effect in our lives. But not until that point. We must respond by putting our faith and trust in this message that the Apostle Paul is sharing in praise and worship with us. And as soon as we do it, as soon as we receive and believe this message, the Holy Spirit applies it to us. And if you have not made that decision to put your faith in what Jesus has done this morning, I urge you, I encourage you, I exhort you, I want you to put your faith in what Jesus has done for you. And if you're ready to do that, I actually would love to lead you in a prayer that expresses that faith in what Jesus has done. If you're ready to do that, would you just, where you are, just bow your head for a moment, close your eyes, focus in on who you're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus, as I lead you. And you can just pray these simple words after me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe that you love me. I believe that you planned to save me. And I believe that you accomplished that salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, when he gave his life on the cross for me. I believe he bore my sin and he rose again from the dead to make me right with you. I believe it and I receive it today. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, then you have been chosen, you've been washed, you've been made holy and blameless, you've been adopted into God's family, and you have been saved through Jesus Christ. And you have received the Holy Spirit as a seal marking you as God's authentic son or daughter. So good, so amazing. Make sure you let somebody know that today. Now, maybe you're already a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've already received Jesus. What is God wanting to affirm and speak to you today? Here are some thoughts that maybe God might be speaking to you. Maybe he wants to affirm your value. As you heard me talking about how God loved you and chose you and adopted you, maybe you haven't understood your value, but today the Holy Spirit is revealing your value in God's sight. Maybe the Holy Spirit is reframing how you see God. Maybe you have seen God as tight-fisted, as hard to please, as reluctant to bless. But today the Holy Spirit is telling you that God longs to bless you, that he longs and delights in blessing you, and that he is a relational God, not a distant, uninterested God somewhere in the universe, but that he loves you. Or maybe God is wanting you to see yourself the way he does. Maybe you've struggled to believe that you've been forgiven, that you are holy and pure and blameless in God's sight. Maybe you've got all kinds of voices going on in your head talking about how unworthy you are. Maybe there's a past you're ashamed of. And God is wanting you to understand today that your past is washed away by the blood of Jesus, and that you have been cleansed through the Holy Spirit from all of that stuff that you have been ashamed of. You are now holy and blameless in his sight. Maybe that's what God's saying. Or maybe God is painting a picture of hope in your heart. Right now in the world we live in the middle of a pandemic and so much negativity and bad news, there are many voices that would steal our hope. But if you and I understand what this passage is saying, if you and I understand what the Apostle Paul is describing, he is giving us a reason to have great confidence. Because not only has God been completing his plan of salvation, but he is still completing it. And we have an eternal hope, not a hope based on circumstances, not a hope that comes from the sun outside shining, not hope that comes from the fact that warmer days are ahead or that maybe the lockdown will end or whatever. It is not based on circumstances. The hope that you and I have is an eternal hope that nothing and no one can take from us. No bad news can steal it, because we have received the ultimate news that God loves us, that he has planned our salvation, that Jesus has accomplished it, that the Holy Spirit has sealed it, and that one day we will stand in the very presence of God, face to face, enjoying the fullness of the inheritance that God has promised us. It is guaranteed in and through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Our security and our confidence do not come from the things around us. They come from a God who has loved us and who has saved us. Here's a quote that I found this week as I was preparing. Our security rests on what God did before the foundation of the world and what he did and continues to do in Christ and in the Spirit and on what he has promised for our future. What great news we have. What great reasons we have to be full of hope and to praise and worship our Father, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who has made us his dwelling place. Right now, we're going to take 30 seconds to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it you are saying to me specifically about this message? How do you want to apply it? So let's take those 30 seconds right now, set aside everything else, all of the distractions, and let's focus in and allow the Holy Spirit to apply this message to our hearts.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit sink today's message into your heart, to let it transform you and bring new life. If you want to learn more about Koinonia, you can go to kcf.life to get connected. Thank you for being a part of our community. If today's message encouraged you, we would love for you to rate it and review it and share it with a friend. We love you. Let's continue to build God's kingdom together.